to pay attention. Something about remembering everything, I think. He said being drunk didn't make him forget. Kept going on about doorknobs and hairy sunlight. Hairy sunlight? Something like that. And the pressure on Hibiscus's arm was suddenly released. He waited a second or two and then very cautiously turned his head. There was no one behind him. Very carefully, Hibiscus bent down to look under the tables. Albert stepped out into the dawn and, after some fumbling, produced his box. He opened it and glanced at his lifetimer, then snapped the lid shut.
"All right," he said. "What next?"
"Squeak!"
"What?"
And someone hit him across the head. It wasn't a killing stroke. Timo Laziman of the Thieves Guild knew what happened to thieves who killed people. The Assassin's Guild came and talked briefly to them. In fact, all they said was goodbye. All he'd wanted to do was knock the old man out so that he could rifle his pockets. He'd not expected the sound as the body hit the ground. It was like the tinkle of broken glass, but with unpleasant overtones that carried on echoing into Timo's ears long after they should have stopped. Something leapt from the body and whirred into his face. Two skeletal claws grabbed his ears and a bony muzzle jerked forward and hit him hard on the forehead. He screamed and ran for it. The Death of Rats dropped to the ground again and scurried back to Albert. It patted his face, kicked him frantically a few times, and then in desperation bit him on the nose. Then it grabbed Albert's collar and tried to pull him out of the gutter, but there was a warning tinkle of glass. The eye sockets turned madly towards the drum's closed front door. Ossified whiskers bristled. A moment later, Hibiscus opened the door, if only to stop the thunderous knocking.
"I said we..."
Something shot between his legs, paused momentarily to bite him on the ankle, and scuttled towards the back door, nose pressed firmly to the floor. It was called Hyde Park, not because people could, but because a hyde was once a measure of land capable of being ploughed by one man with 3.5 oxen on a wet Thursday, and the park was exactly this amount of land, and people in Ankh-Morpork stick to tradition, and often to other things as well. And it had trees and grass, and a lake with actual fish in it. And by one of those twists of civic history, it was a fairly safe place. People seldom got mugged in Hyde Park. Muggers like somewhere safe to sunbathe, just like everyone else. It was, as it were, neutral territory. And it was already filling up, even though there was nothing much to see except the workmen still hammering together a large stage by the lake. An area behind it had been walled off with strips of cheap sacking nailed to stakes. Occasionally, excited people would try to get in and would be thrown into the lake by Chrysoprase's trolls. Among the practising musicians, Crash and his group were immediately noticeable, partly because Crash had his shirt off so that Jimbo could paint iodine on the wounds.
"I thought you were joking," he growled.
I did say it was in your bedroom," said Scum.
"How am I going to play my guitar like this?" said Crash.
"You can't play your guitar anyway," said Noddy.
"I mean, look at my hand. Look at it."
They looked at his hand. Jimbo's mum had put a glove on it after treating the wounds. They hadn't been very deep, because even a stupid leopard won't hang around anyone who wants to take his trousers off. "A glove," said Crash in a terrible voice. "Whoever heard of a serious musician with a glove? How can I ever play my guitar with a glove on?"
"How could you ever play your guitar anyway?" "I don't know why I put up with you three," said Crash.
You're cramping my artistic development. I'm thinking of leaving and forming my own band."
"No, you won't," said Jimbo, "because you won't find anyone even worse than us. Let's face it, we're rubbish."
He was voicing a hitherto unspoken yet shared thought. The other musicians around them were, it was true, quite bad, but that's all they were. Some of them had some minor musical talent. As for the rest, they merely couldn't play. They didn't have a drummer who missed the drums, and a bass guitarist with the same natural rhythm as a traffic accident. And they generally settled on their name. They might be unimaginative names like A Big Troll and Some Other Trolls, or Dwarfs with Altitude, but at least they knew who they were.
"How about We're a Rubbish Band?" said Noddy, sticking his hands in his pockets.
"We may be rubbish," snarled Crash, "but we're music with rocks in rubbish."
"Well, well, well, and how's it all going then?"
said Dibbler, pushing his way through the sacking.
"It won't be long now. What are you doing here?"
"We're in the programme, Mr. Dibbler," said Crash meekly.
"How can you be in the